listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney from the nation's capital in Washington, D.C.
Welcome back to Secure Freedom Radio. I'm your guest host, Kyle Scheidler, filling in for the great Frank Gaffney, who is off today. Joining me now, he's a favorite of Secure Freedom Radio listeners everywhere, Senior Vice President for Policy and Programs at the Center for Security Policy, former CIA analyst and former Chief of Staff for Ambassador John Bolton at the U.S. State Department. He is my colleague and friend, Fred Flights. Fred, welcome back.
Hey, Kyle. Great to be here.
Fred, you're really a guy we turn to for all things non-proliferation. So I wanted to get your take on this recent announcement that the North Koreans are considering coming back to the table with the U.S. to discuss their nuclear program. What's the deal?
Well, it was a stunning development. North Korea agreed to a summit in late April with South Korean President Moon and reportedly is willing to discuss giving up its nuclear weapons program and normalizing relations with the United States. I mean, many of us are extremely skeptical about this, and I think we have to talk about what this would mean. It is a stunning departure from what the North would agree to, even as early as this year, and it is an offer that the North repeatedly refused to make to the Obama administration, even though it was prepared to give away the store to get a nuclear deal with North Korea. There's definitely something going on here, and I can simply say without a shadow of a doubt, regardless of how sincere North Korea is, it clearly has made this strategic move because of the policies of President Trump.
We're talking with Fred Flights of the Center for Security Policy and former CIA analyst about North Korea's recent nuclear negotiations offer, and I really want to get your thoughts both on the impact of sort of Trump-North Korea diplomacy and what role that it played in this recent offer. You said that this is something that we can really thank President Trump for, bringing them back to the table. How did he do it?
Well, I mean, there's no question that the president's policies are responsible, and even some people on the left are admitting that. South Korean President Moon has said that it is President Donald Trump's policies got North Korea to the negotiating table. There's a major South Korean newspaper that has said, you know, with talk in Washington of a bloody nose preemptive strike against North Korea, the North Koreans changed their tactics. So I think the North Koreans see a decisive president for which force really is on the table, who is thinking of using military force if they continue to test nuclear weapons. We see sanctions that are much tougher. We know there's cheating, but in the past, the Obama administration didn't bother to make other states enforce them. We know China and Russia are cheating, but we also know China is substantially complying with these sanctions. And also, there's another aspect that people aren't talking about. The Chinese are worried. Two Chinese academics were allowed to publicly discuss last year that North Korea has become a latent enemy of China, and that North Korea has become a drag on its national security, and that China has to worry that North Korea's nuclear test could leak radiation into China. They actually publicly discussed that the Chinese government should start talking about a contingency plan to replace the Kim regime if it loses the war with the U.S. Kyle, this is unprecedented that this is ever being discussed in China. This stuff is always censored. I'm not saying I trust the North Koreans or the Chinese, but I will say that the whole equation was changed by Donald Trump's principled leadership on this issue.
That's pretty remarkable, Fred, and obviously something those of us in the national security space who thought that Trump could be a different sort of president are glad to see. But this is, you know, negotiations with the North Koreans is a place where many administrations have stumbled in the past. What are some of the traps that the Trump administration should be looking out for if they do decide to go to the table with the North Koreans?
Well, in all likelihood, the North Koreans are playing a game they played before. They want to split the U.S. from other nations. They want to extract concessions, and they want to buy time without agreeing and without agreeing to give up anything or abide by their commitments. I think it's crucial that we not play that game, that we say to the North Koreans, okay, prove to us you're serious. We need very intrusive inspections. We need a complete declaration of North Korea's nuclear program, and all of its nuclear sites have to be shut down. You know, the Bush administration in its second term tried this, and the North Koreans gave a declaration of its nuclear program. That was a fraud, and we rewarded them anyway. We took them off the state-sponsored terror list. This was under Condoleezza Rice, I might add. We took them off the state-sponsored terror list after they provided a fraudulent and incomplete list of its nuclear program. We can't play those games. If the North Koreans say they're serious, they're going to have to prove it.
Should we link Fred Flight's North Korean behavior on other issues to negotiations as well? I mean, you mentioned, for example, the state sponsor of terrorism list, and the Trump administration put them back on that list in part because of their behavior. But is this something where, you know, really all aspects of the North Korean regime should be on the table, or should we try to keep it just to the nuclear issue?
No, all aspects have to be on the table. They have to stop counterfeiting. They have to stop using the diplomatic pouches for illegal activities, probably transporting drugs. The dear leader's half-brother was assassinated with chemical weapons in the Malaysia airport a few months ago. You know, prior administrations would just look the other way towards this kind of stuff. We can't do that anymore. This is a criminal regime. Everything's on the table. Or not only will there be no deal, we will continue to ratchet up the pressure.
One of the things you mentioned, Fred, and I think it's important, is the relationship with the South Koreans. Their new president is someone that really came into the office with a promise of sitting down with the North Koreans and holding hands and reestablishing a positive relationship. How do we keep them on board, but also keep a tough and unified alliance during these negotiations?
So far, I think that's going fairly well. You know, President Moon said if he was elected, he would first meet with Kim Jong-un. But Kim behaved so badly and tested so many missiles. I mean, meet with Kim before meeting President Trump. Moon met with Trump first. And I'm encouraged that Moon has said he's not going to let up sanctions. And this upcoming summit in late April will be in Panmunjom, the truth village, not in Pyongyang. That's important because the North Koreans wanted the propaganda value of the South Korean president coming to their capital. Moon wouldn't give it to them until he's sure that they are sincere in their negotiations. We need to keep an eye on Moon, but what I've seen so far is encouraging.
Well, that's very positive. And then what about the other parties to the talk? I mean, should this just be the United States and North Korea mano a mano, or who else should be at the table? Who do we need at the table to keep the North Koreans straight, and who would be, who should we keep away from the table, I think, perhaps more importantly?
Well, I'd love to keep the Russians away from the table and include the Japanese and the Chinese, but I don't think that's possible. First of all, we don't want the Europeans in. They want to get involved in everything. They have been left out. Let's keep them out. But we need China there. We need to keep China on board. China wants to participate in multilateral talks. And if Russia has to be there, we have to be tough with Russia, because Russia is trying to fill the gap caused by increased Chinese enforcement of sanctions. And I mean, this is just Vladimir Putin causing more trouble wherever he can for the United States. So I think all these states will probably be involved in multilateral talks eventually.
Fred Flights, Senior Vice President for Policy and Programs at the Center for Security Policy, former CIA analyst and former Chief of Staff for Ambassador John Bolton at the U.S. State Department. Extremely enlightening, and that's why we are so glad to have you here at Secure Freedom Radio, and I'm sure we will have you back to keep us updated on this important situation.